Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsors.
The Angler Magazine of the Great Smoky Mountains and the Upstate covers fishing and outdoor-related activity from Knoxville, Tennessee to Abington, Virginia, all the way down to Columbia, South Carolina, and everything in between. They are a local magazine with national reach. The Angler Magazine of the Great Smoky Mountains and the Upstate is ready to take you on your adventure to the outdoors. Sunrift Adventures and Historic Travelers Rest South Carolina has been outfitting the foothills for over 37 years with the best boats, bikes, tents, and more. With great brands, Sunrift has you covered for every adventure. Stop into Sunrift Adventures' unique outdoor shop and say hello today. Go to sunrift.com for more information. That's sunrift.com. The Angler Magazine of the Great Smoky Mountains and the Upstate covers fishing and outdoor-related activity from Knoxville, Tennessee to Abington, Virginia, all the way down to Columbia, South Carolina, and everything in between. They are a local magazine with national reach. The Angler Magazine of the Great Smoky Mountains and the Upstate is ready to take you on your adventure to the outdoors.
Choose your adventure with French Broad Adventures. Zipline canopy tours, whitewater rafting, calm water float trips, canyoneering adventures, they've got it all. Best of all, French Broad Adventures are the only raft zip combo close enough to Asheville that you can experience and make it back to town in time for dinner. Take advantage of their vacation package and save on all the thrills, chills, and occasional spills into the water. For more information or to book your adventure, visit FrenchBroadAdventures.com.
Welcome to Matt and Michelle Outdoors, where we take you to the best destinations of the Southern Appalachian Mountains and the foothills to explore the outdoors, enjoy dining, recreation, lodging, and shopping. We also want to make sure to introduce you to the influencers, innovators, and leaders in our outdoor economy. Good day, one and all, and welcome to another episode of Matt and Michelle Outdoors. I'm Matt Matan.
I'm Michelle Sheep.
And we are so glad to have you with us today, especially because we get to have a fresh new visit with a very old friend of the program, and we had connected when we were first starting our journey with Matt and Michelle Outdoors, and he was first starting his journey with Black Folks Camp 2, and that is Earl B. Hunter Jr. So good to have you on the air with us again, my friend.
Yeah.
It's been a
Thank
while.
Thank you so much, Matt and Michelle. You know, I think one of the most beautiful things that you just said a minute ago, that we're old friends because we've been in the trenches and really thinking about how we're going to change the world, and I look forward to having this amazing conversation with you too.
Well, it's been a couple of years since we've been on together, and I mean, we've talked since then, but you know, it's the first time we've been on, and you know, Black Folks Camp 2 was still in the early development stages of getting rolling. I mean, you had a lot going on, just like we did, but you know, we may have seen the world the way it was going to be with what we were doing, and same with you, but just not as many people had found out about what either of us were doing at that point,
right.
And now
right.
a lot more people do. So it's fun to sit down and kind of compare notes, look over the last couple of years and all that's happened and grown and changed, but how much more still can change and the things that are going to be coming forward. But for folks that may not have heard you on our show way back when, and they can go back and check out old podcasts and stuff, but give them a little bit of an introduction to Earl B. Hunter Jr., who you are and how you ended up doing what you're doing today with Black Folks Camp 2.
Well, first of all, I'm going to tell folks that you two were the first folks that interviewed us via radio or TV or anything. So I really appreciate that.
Aww.
That was pretty amazing. And we were able to shed light on our world. Again, my name is Earl B. Hunter Jr. I'm founder and president of Black Folks Camp 2. And Black Folks Camp 2 here, our job is to remove fear, add knowledge, and invite more Black folks to camp and enjoy the outdoor lifestyle with any and everyone. Your race, your age, your gender does not matter. We want to make sure that all folks are around that campfire, so we're having conversations, because we believe that the more conversations we have around the campfire, we're going to find that we got more same than differences when it comes to your race, your age, or your genders. And we've done that in a very strategic way, Matt and Michelle. We have been very, very solid in our approach. We tell folks all the time, we don't get involved in programs or get involved into anything that is not sincere, meaningful, it can be measured, or it's sustainable. And at the end of the day, you know, we've worked with so many different state agencies, companies, different folks, because one of the things we needed to do was get data. And for the last 2 years, we've gotten a lot of data and why if you love the outdoors a lot, that means you haven't seen a lot of Black folks there. And there's reasons why. And we have gotten down to the data to understand that, so we can get to the what, when, where, and how. And so for one of the greatest things we've done, to be frank with you, We've connected with folks in this industry, in the outdoor industry, which is the $880 billion industry. We've connected with folks in the lifestyle, the majority of folks who are already in the lifestyle. And we've said to them, listen, here's the why you haven't seen more folks that look like Earl or more black folks or people of color in the outdoors. And here are the steps in which we think that we can share upon you, that we can actually help change that narrative. So it's been amazing, my friend. Absolutely amazing.
Well, and I think some of your backstory too. Talk just briefly, because there's a lot of things I want to, you know, have us be able to touch on today. But share a little bit of your background when you went on that trip with your son and hitting all those different camping things and being on the road, because I think that that will inform a lot of folks to hear kind of the origin of where this began.
Yeah, first, you know, I'm a youngster to the outdoors. You know, I didn't get into the outdoors until I was 40 years old. And at that time, I actually became an executive in the outdoor industry, in the RV industry. As a matter of fact, I was one of only black executives on a $114 billion industry, which is the RV industry. And being a part of that industry, I was able to see that there's a lot of opportunity to have a diverse audience in the lifestyle and also in the industry. And to be frank with you, I really got tired of being the token black male in that industry, in the RV industry. So I figured I would leave the industry and actually start Black Folks Camp too. But before I did, my 7-year-old son at the time, we took this amazing journey around the country. We were gone for like 3 months. And the way it got started was my son came to me and basically said, hey, Dad, you say you're going to take me to Mount Rushmore, and you haven't taken me yet. Mind you, I had driven around Mount Rushmore probably 10 to 12 times because I had driven over 350,000 miles around North America selling them the product in which I was actually an executive of that company selling in campers. And so I had driven around Mount Rushmore several times, but I didn't want to go because I knew I wanted to take my son because he was asking. So we ended up going. And it was amazing, right? It was extraordinary. As a matter of fact, not only did my son and I visit Mount Rushmore, not only was I teaching him on the road on how to sell in product, but we discovered something that actually made the journey better for Black Folks Camp 2 to actually start. We didn't see any Black folks camping. We didn't see any Black folks camping until we had gone to over 20 campgrounds, and we saw one Black family camping in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And that was the start of the conversation on starting Black Folks Camp 2 as a company to help remove fear, add knowledge, and invite more Black folks to camp and enjoy the outdoor lifestyle with any and everyone. That is the origin of it, right?
Yeah, and, you know, when you were out there, we've talked about it before, but, you know, when you hear the absence of people of color in the outdoors and things, what you had talked about with your experience, you'd also said it wasn't that there was like an exclusionary or standoffishness that occurred or anything. You spoke about it being just the opposite.
Right.
That people were very welcoming and cordial and friendly, and everybody out there in the outdoors is just out there in the outdoors.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, you've talked about how that was kind of an epiphany moment.
Yeah, you know, so I got to tell you this. My family and I, we had been camping before. We had been RVing. We were RVers. So we had been to RV lots. We had been, of course, I was working for an RV company, a company that made RVs. So I had gone camping before I took my son on this camping trip. we had gone camping. But the thing is that every time we've gone to campgrounds, every time I've had an opportunity to go to campgrounds, I had an amazing time. People are welcoming because it's a lifestyle. Camping is a lifestyle. When it's, you know, RVing is a lifestyle. Tent camping is a lifestyle. Glamping is a lifestyle. Yurt camping is a lifestyle. Cabin camping, overlanding, all these things in the outdoors, backpacking is a lifestyle. So when you meet people who are in that lifestyle, they tend to, whether they look like you, they act like you, or they're your age or your gender, they tend to understand that you're in this lifestyle and the lifestyle is cool. So we want to make sure that you're having an amazing time. So again, what it was a lot of people surprised, to be frank with you, because they were surprised, and they were surprised they hadn't seen folks that looked like me in these spaces. They would say that to me. As a matter of fact, it was like, look, you know, it's the first time I've ever seen Black folks camping. It's the first time I've ever seen this. And what I wanted to share with these folks more than anything, well, listen, my family is just like your family. My family can want to enjoy the outdoors as well, particularly when we went to public lands. It was easier for me to say that we all pay for 640 mm-hmm. million acres of public land, and we should all be enjoying.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit about how the Unity Blaze came about, where you can just kind of get that solidarity in a second.
Well, you know, I tell folks all the time, you know, camping, again, is a lifestyle. And one of the things I love about the Unity Blaze is it's the campfire within our logo. And the Unity Blaze means treat everyone, everywhere, equally. It doesn't matter your race, your age, or your gender. It doesn't matter your class. It doesn't matter where you're from. We want everyone around that campfire. And we believe that the Unity Blaze right now, we know it is the symbol of unity in the outdoors. So when you have that Unity Blaze sticker on your car, or you have that patch on your backpack or on your shirt, when you're wearing a Unity Blaze shirt, you're basically signaling to the world that you treat everyone everywhere equally without them even saying and asking you. We have the Unity Blaze flying at RV dealerships. We have the Unity Blaze on products with oboes. We have the Unity Blaze on coffee. We have it on socks. The Unity Blaze is making its way around the world, and it's helping folks identify the seriousness of the absence of folks that look like me, but also the opportunity that we all can get around the campfire and start having conversations. We're going to find out again, we have more same than differences.
You know, and with that, I know you're doing a lot of outreach. We were talking just before we came on the air, and you know, you find yourself doing a lot of those miles again, you know, but instead of selling RVs, you're selling a vision and inviting people and encouraging people. Talk about some of the outreach work.
Well, one of the things that we've always said to folks is that we're not here to call people out. We call people in. And when you want to call people in, you have to educate them. And not just educate Black folks about the outdoor, but we have to educate the current majority, which majority of the folks who love the outdoors, let's just keep it real, they're white folks. However, those folks don't understand, 97% of those folks, the data that we have, 97% of those folks don't know the reasons why folks that look like me haven't been in the outdoors. So we have to educate these folks on why we haven't been in the outdoors because of that generational fear. Because of that, my great-grandmother told my grandmother, told my mama, told me don't go in them woods, right? Because she was afraid of, my great-grandmother was afraid of what she had seen in the woods, right? Or she had seen some of the most reckless things in the woods pertaining to Black folks. She, you know, we don't have any knowledge, right? We don't have a lot of knowledge. And we certainly have never really been invited or welcome in the outdoors. And to keep that in context, I tell folks this all the time, you know, the outdoors, you know, until 1964 was segregated in a lot of places for Black folks, whether it be national and state parks. And that's why when folks say to me that the outdoors is for everyone, Black folks should just want to go. Well, once you understand the why and understand the history on why we're not going, then you will then look across the aisle and say, you know what, that makes valid points. And now I'm going to welcome these folks in. And so our job right now is to have these conversations with conservancies and land trusts. And all these folks are wanting to get more ambassadors to care about the outdoors. Our job is to share with them the why, so we can get to the what, when, where, and how to do better and to make this a much more inclusive experience for everyone.
Well, and I want us to talk more about that, too, because you and I have had off-air conversations about how you've been able to empower me to connect with people and address and validate concerns and generational fears that you talked about. But we got to take a quick break right here, and we'll continue our conversation with Earl B. Hunter Jr. of Black Folks Camp 2 right after this here on Matt and Michelle Outdoors.
Right on.
Wilkesboro, North Carolina, located in the rolling foothills of northwest North Carolina, is a paradise for outdoor enthusiasts. More than 40 miles of intense mountain biking trails, serene river tubing, record fishing, thrilling disc golf, and epic hikes, all located within minutes of their historic and charming downtown district, with monthly concerts, movies, and events. To learn more, visit explorewilkesboro.com.
Hi, this is Yvette Freeman, publisher of The Envoy. If you're a minority or female business owner or creative artist, The Envoy magazine wants to help promote your business. Get listed, get featured, get seen. Visit theenvoyguide.com for more info.
Sunrift Adventures and Historic Travelers Rest South Carolina has been outfitting the foothills for over 37 years with the best boats, bikes, tents, and more. With great brands, Sunrift has you covered for every adventure. Stop into Sunrift Adventures' unique outdoor shop and say hello today. Go to sunrift.com for more information. That's sunrift.com.
And then continuing now with more of Matt and Michelle Outdoors. And just want to remind everybody, if you are looking to get out and find great day trip destinations around the Southern Appalachians and the foothills, then just go ahead and browse back through the different destination episodes we've done with Matt and Michelle Outdoors. We like to balance back and forth between talking to innovators, influencers, and leaders in the outdoor economy, as well as give you nice how-tos and everything you need to know about an outdoor-themed visit to a community or a destination in the Southern Appalachians and foothills. And that is what we commit ourselves to doing, and make sure that you have a fun, safe, and cost-effective trip out there. And what we're talking about right now with our good friend Earl B. Hunter Jr. of Black Folks Camp 2 is about expanding that community and the inclusiveness that so many that are in the outdoors naturally feel because of what motivates them to be out in nature. And God's ultimate temple is about all of us together
sharing our love of the nature of just
taking
being
that nature
out there
back.
That's right, because it gives as much as we've ever taken, and we've taken
a lot.
You know Matt, and I'm glad you brought that up, and I gotta tell you, I tell folks, being in the outdoors, I never knew how amazing it was to hug a tree. I never knew how amazing it was to stand there, hug a tree, knowing that the tree wasn't going anywhere, and laying all my burdens down on that tree. And I think that one of the things that I always share with folks when we do this work, that, you know, Black Folks Camp 2, we're not a group. You know, we're not a club. We're a business. And our business is to change the current narrative of making sure that folks understand that they can love the outdoors, and the outdoors will love them, period.
Yeah, and it's totally worth the punchlines from some of my friends when I say something about when you stand in front of an old growth tree, which there are still some, you know, most of Western North Carolina was clear cut back in the early 1900s, but there still are some old growth stands in a few places and some trees to find. And there's one not too far from where we live. And there's this one tree you can get out there, and I'm 6'1", and with my wingspan of 6 feet, I don't get halfway around the tree. And when you realize that tree was there back in like the Revolutionary War time frame, it kind of puts things in perspective. You know what I mean? It kind of makes you realize how limited our time here is, and what are we going to do with it? You know, and so we were talking before the break about, you know, the realities, the generational things that have been passed along about things that happen in the woods, and why there's a hesitation for people of color to go into natural areas and everything because of generational stories of what people saw and what actually happened. And, you know, having those conversations with folks that may not be aware of that or may not be thinking about that, It can be a real humbling moment and an accountability moment of realizing that, you know, it falls on many of us that are white. You know, we're talking real today.
We're just kind of keeping it real.
Yeah, we're just keeping it real.
Well, this is the thing, man.
Let me finish what I was going to say real quick. That it kind of puts the responsibility on us to make the effort to kind of correct the course of things that happened previously.
Matt, this is one of the reasons why we're in this situation in 2022, with a company with Black Folks Camp 2 leading the way with the Unity Blaze, because we haven't been communicating. And one of the things we don't do well in our country is communicate with one another, whether it be interracial or exit racial in regards to talking to different races or internal. We don't do well talking about our past. We don't do well having these conversations because folks, it starts to feel like they have a blame game and things of that nature. Here's what I believe. As a company, man, we might be, I always tell folks, we may be one of the most delightful companies in the world, right? And by that, as a company, we spend 20% of our time talking about the reasons why Black folks hadn't been in the outdoors, and we spend 80% of our time talking about the solutions and how the solutions are going to change things. And the solutions incorporates everyone. Because if we're going to say that the outdoors is for everyone, we need to make sure we understand why there's a certain group of people that have not been in the outdoors. And once we understand the why, we get to the what, when, where, and how again. What's been happening is that there are a lot of folks, particularly white folks, don't know the reason why black folks haven't been in the outdoors. So even if they want to help and they want to make sure that we're adding more folks to this beautiful neighborhood of nature, it is those efforts are going falling on deaf ears, or those efforts are not, they're not measurable and they're not sustainable, because you cannot do that. I cannot build a business. No one can build a business unless they understand the why, the what, when, and where, and how. And so what's been happening for the last 20, 30 years is that folks who've been thinking this way and wanting to increase unity and increase inclusion in the outdoors, they've been doing so with a very sincere heart, with a very meaningful heart. But what they've been doing hadn't been measured, so it can't be sustainable. And what we want to do is we want to educate the current lifestyle, the current folks who are enjoying the outdoors right now more than anyone, which are white folks. And this is not an opinion. This is data and this is facts, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, this the outdoors was not a part of black folks' culture for the most part. Well, now, I got to be very careful when I say that, because I tell folks, our company says black folks camp too. It doesn't say black folks camp only with black folks. It doesn't say that black folks camp by themselves. It says black folks camp too, and two means also, and it means as well. Meaning that we know that black folks have camp. We know that they will camp, and we know they are camping right now. Our job is to get more black folks to camp and enjoy the outdoor lifestyle with any and everyone. And we want the very same people that love camping and love the outdoors the most to get in the boat with us and row with us as we get more folks out there in the outdoors.
And that brings us back to before we took that last commercial break, and how conversations that you and I have had and how you've empowered me in that understanding and understanding the generational weight. It's, when you hear it from your mom who heard it from her mom who heard it from her dad or something like that, it's as real as I just did it myself.
Right.
You know, and so understanding what is there and being able to address that, you know, it's something where, like you said, when you know and you understand and you can validate, and then giving the tools of like just the invite and the inclusion, yeah, and I'm there with you. We're side by side together. Let's go. That is what makes a difference. And, you know, and we've talked off air. We don't need to go back into it here, but, you know, you've helped me a lot in the outreach. And well, and just being able to connect with people and let them know, hey, I hear you. I understand. That's valid. And here, we're going to move forward.
And yeah. I just wanted to add on to what he's saying is going back to what you were saying, Earl, about the institution helping as well, where it's not just the person, but the fact that there's a business out there and that we're more inclusive, you know, that anyone can kind of see this inclusivity. It helps when you do make that invite.
Yeah, you know what? This is the thing. We're all in this together, folks. You know, we as a company have a very strategic way to get more black folks in the outdoors, and it's probably the easiest way on the planet. I always tell folks, listen, if you really want to see more inclusion in the outdoors, if you really want to see more inclusion in the lifestyle, in the industry, particularly in the lifestyle, go find somebody. If you love the outdoors and you want to take care of it, and you think the outdoors is amazing and you love it, what I say to you, because we need more ambassadors to love the outdoors, I say to you, go find somebody that don't look like you and take them and show them the outdoors. Just don't take children. Just don't go get young black children, young children of color. Go get their parents, because the data shows that parents who take their children in the outdoors, or when children go to the outdoors with their parents, they grow up to love the outdoors the most, right? And it also, the data shows that children don't have cars. They can't drive to these places, or they don't, and even if a park was next to a national park or a state park was next to this child's house, the child going into the woods on their own is something that any parent would say, no, don't do that, right? And so I believe there's a way to get to move this needle off center. Now, this is another important thing I need to share with you, Matt and Michelle. Black Folks Camp 2 was built to go out of business. We were built, and I know that sounds really funny from a company perspective. We were built to do our job so that we are not needed anymore. That is a very different structure for business. But we were built so that our message reigns over the top of everything of unity, so folks can go out and help themselves, meaning that the industry and the lifestyle can be self-sustainable where they don't need us anymore.
Yeah.
And when we do that, that means we've changed the world.
Well, speaking of changing the world, let's do the invite. How do people go ahead and get involved, get a Unity Blaze for their business and for their own apparel, things like
and
this?
I'm online right now ordering a t-shirt.
All right. So she's on blackfolkscamp2.com right now shopping.
Yes, I am.
Well,
I am.
Well, I'm glad
that's what I do.
I'm glad you said that. You know, Black Folks Camp 2, you know, again, we don't even accept donations, right? We don't accept donations. We created a business around the Unity Blaze, around our logos, around everything. And we want folks to help us by going to blackfolkscamp2.com to purchase our apparel, purchase the things that we have, our many partnerships that we have. We also want you to go there to read our articles, read the articles that we've already, that have been written on us. We've been on some major networks, CBS. We have other networks continuing to call us. We're working with national and state parks to get this message out, to make sure that we're sharing this knowledge with everyone. We want folks to go to our website and to understand what the Unity Blaze means. So when you go to your local RV dealerships, when you see that Unity Blaze flying there, you know that we've been there and we've shared with these folks that the way to change the industry and lifestyle is to treat everyone everywhere equally. And that includes Black folks, white folks, Asian folks, Latino folks, Native American folks, Hispanic folks, Indian folks, and every creed and age that makes up the American culture. We want everybody to be inclusive. That's what we are.
Well, Earl B. Hunter Jr., always a pleasure to be able to talk with you. Glad we were able to do it on air this time.
So great.
Keep Absolutely. On doing what you're doing, and we look forward to seeing you on the trails and waterways as well.
Well, I want to thank you, Matt and Michelle, for giving us the platform to share this information. And I really do appreciate you for this. And lastly, to your audience, I hope those folks have the most amazing day of their life. But more than that, I hope tomorrow is better.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you,
Beautiful.
Sir. All right. And so we will talk to you next time on the next episode. We got a destination coming up for you in the next episode, so you'll have to stick around to see where we're headed next.
Ooh.
All right. Thank you all, and we'll talk to you next time. Thank you for tuning in to Matt and Michelle Outdoors. If you'd like to keep up with us and our travels and visits to areas all across the Southern Appalachian Mountains and the foothills, just go to mattandmichelleoutdoors.com. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you on the trails and waterways soon.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.